Hi, this is Sassy Strawberry reading Thousand Autumns, 千秋 by 孟西石 Chapter 86, translation by myself and edited by Yuki Ryu and Happy Bess. 长孙生's words were true. The 玉露丸were indeed extremely effective. 沈乔 consumed 2 pills. A short while later, in conjunction with the 朱阳策's true qi circulating through his body,His meridians were unblocked and began to flow. In addition, his blood and qi were rejuvenated. The dull pain in his chest had also drastically reduced, whereas in the past just saying a few words required strenuous effort. Shen Qiao bid farewell to both Zhang Sun Sheng and Dou Yi and helped Yu Wen Song onto the horse with him. In order to give Yu Wen Song some time to adjust, he deliberately slowed their pace while turning his face to look back at the city.The city of Chang'an stood tall and majestic, seemingly vast and endless, just like in the past. It had survived the flames of war and still stands both resolute and unshakable. In comparison, over the past thousands of years, the people and dynasties have changed. Unfortunately, even the tragedy of Yuan Xian's wrongful death, born from injustice, would most likely be forgotten within a few years.Dou Yan's hand was held by her father. She stared at the two without blinking as she raised her voice and shouted, Shen Dao Zun, take care. Yu Wen Qi Lang, take care. The Chinese word would be Bao Zhong. Shen Dao Zun, Bao Zhong. Yu Wen Qi Lang, Bao Zhong. Shen Qiao gave Dou Yan a smile, but noticed that Yu Wen Song was sitting in front of him, hadn't uttered a single word. Shen Qiao said to him,Do you want to take another look at Chang'an? After we depart, it is uncertain when we will be able to return. Yu Wen Song was silent for a moment and then replied, This place, looking at it again will only provoke more feelings of sorrow. I hate it that I'm powerless, unable to do anything except watch as my parents suffer from injustice. Even though he was younger than Shi Wu,His manner of speaking resembled someone mature beyond his years. Shi Wu had wept endlessly on the day that he had lost his master. Although Yu Wen Song had cried back at the Su Manor, and his voice sounded hoarse and dull right now, he still spoke clearly and fluently. He was much tougher than Shi Wu. Thinking about it, perhaps all the children from noble families were like this. Despite being in an extremely dangerous situation, Dou Yan had neither panicked nor struggled when she was being held in Shen Qiao's arms. Thus, Shen Qiao could focus on dealing with the enemy. Shen Qiao patted the top of his head. You should not think this way. Your father had the opportunity to take the easy route and retreat, but he still chose to stay. Partly because he was unwilling to let your mother and brothers face the danger on their own, but also in order to show his innocence and loyalty to the emperor.And especially to the entire world. Perhaps others may not be able to understand this, but as his son, you should be able to understand him, right? Yu Wen Song agreed with an un. After a while, he whispered, Actually, father had already arranged for mother and the rest to leave in secret. But mother refused to let father stay behind and confront the crisis on his own. My elder brothers also refused to leave.Since I am the youngest, I was forcibly taken away by Uncle Yin. Shen Qiao replied, Right. During our time on Earth, every person will be faced with choices that they have to make. Some people choose to preserve their own lives at any cost, yet others are willing to give up their lives in order to preserve their reputation and proclaim their innocence. We should not blame them.Since only in adversity will one's true self emerge. Qi Wang had so many people willing to aid him in secret. Even the Su family was willing to come forward and stand against the emperor for his sake. It's evident that Qi Wang's moral character and integrity was well known to all. As such, no amount of slander will bring him down. Now that I have been entrusted with the responsibility, I must ensure that you are put in safe hands.Do you have any relatives that you would like to seek asylum with? He had originally planned to bring Yu Wen Song directly to Bixia Zong on Taishan. However, he saw that although this person was young, he had developed a manner of independent thinking. Hence, Shen Qiao changed his original plans and instead asked for Yu Wensong's views in the matter, not wishing to make a decision on his behalf. Yu Wensong shook his head. The Yuan family relatives are either nobility or royalty. Even if someone was willing to take me in, it would only implicate them should the other higher-ups decide to pursue me. Now that Yu Wenyun has killed my father and three other well-respected noble families, he would not shy away from killing more people to demonstrate his prowess. Shen Daojiang, wherever you go, I will follow. Shen Qiao said, okay, in that case, we will go to Bixiazong. Yu Wensong asked, where is Bixiazong located? Shen Qiao, on Taishan. As expected, Yu Wensong's interest was piqued. Taishan, the foremost of the five sacred mountains? Shen Qiao smiled and replied, precisely. Taishan is surrounded by an endless mountain range, the finest under the heavens. The rosy clouds at sunrise are outstandingly beautiful. If you are able to witness it with your own eyes, you will not regret it. Yu Wensong was still young, so his attention was easily distracted. Even though he was heartbroken upon hearing Shen Qiao's description, his expression immediately colored with anticipation. Yu Wenyun had always been jealous and afraid of Yu Wenxian's prestige and fame. In order to avoid losing sleep at night due to worry or Ye Chang Meng Duo, he had his men besiege Qi Wang's residence, forcing Yu Wenxian to flee and hide. Bystanders had misjudged what had happened and assumed that Yu Wenyun did not yet want to commit murder, and thus relaxed their guard. Who would have expected that Yu Wenyun would suddenly launch an attack and have Mu Runqin kill his own uncle? Rather than live and suffer from shame and humiliation, the members of the Qi Wang residence chose to commit suicide in the envoy's presence. As news of the event spread, everyone was stunned and shocked, mourning for Yu Wenxian. They soon gathered and impeached the emperor's lackeys, namely Chen Gong and those of his ilk, all while implicitly pointing their fingers at the emperor. There were others who acted from the shadows, keeping the emperor so preoccupied he couldn't send people outside the city to chase after Shen Qiao and Yu Wensong. As a result, for many days, Shen Qiao was able to bring Yu Wensong out of Chang'an without even the trace of a soldier in pursuit. As for the people of He Huanzong, Shen Qiao had consecutively killed off two of their elders, and there now was enmity and a deep blood debt between them. Xue Hai Shen Chou. Even without this incident, there had been a time when Sang Jingxing had forced Shen Qiao to destroy his martial arts, only for it to backfire, resulting in Sang Jingxing suffering severe injuries. The foundations of this bitter grudge had long been laid. As such, the peace they experienced now did not mean that the peaceful days would last forever. Although Shen Qiao was currently injured, his fighting ability actually reached far beyond what it was in the past. As long as the attackers were neither Sang Jingxing nor Yuan Xiuxiu, Shen Qiao could easily handle the enemy and protect Yu Wensong at the same time. Hence, when they arrived at Hezhou, he slowed down their pace and avoided the direct route to Bixiazong. Instead, he chose a path south, not only to give himself time to recuperate from his injuries, but also to bring Yu Wensong somewhere to rest. The journey south continued for over 3 months, traveling and resting intermittently. Once they arrived in the city, they looked for a Taoist temple to find shelter. Shen Qiao would then bring Yu Wensong outside to broaden his horizons by having him enjoy the local scenery. Together, they strolled through the busy streets and small alleyways and observed the affairs of the city. Marketplaces. It was like the old saying, the vicissitudes of life have their own true meaning, and within the ways of the world are embedded many truths and reasons. There are 3,000 ways to reach the Tao, but even if the forms vary greatly, they are still intrinsically the same. 大道三千, 万变不离其中. The more Shen Xiao experienced, the clearer and more straightforward his heart became, which benefited his cultivation path of reaching the Tao through the sword. His current self was very different from the past Zhang Xiao, who was in dire straits, having suffered betrayal in Mount Xuandu or Xuandushan. Even after he had rolled around in the red dust of the secular world, not only was he completely untainted, but he seemed to have further transcended beyond the secular world. With his raven black hair and cyan clothes, the long sword he carried with him, and his radiant and lustrous features, he was as brilliant as the bright moon and beautiful as an immortal amongst mortals. He gave off an imperceptible aura of noble purity and abstinence that made others feel unworthy of approaching him, only able to appreciate him from afar. For Yu and Song, these experiences had to a large extent alleviated his emotions of sorrow and grief. At such a young age, suffering through long periods of depressive emotions would cause one to die a premature death. Shen Xiao was mindful of this and thus simply brought Yu and Song out to explore and travel, rarely speaking of rules and principles. He wanted to let Yu and Song to see more and think more, in order to expand his mind and broaden his horizons. This Taoist came at an opportune time. Today is Old Master Huang's 60th birthday celebration. All the nobles and gentries in the city have come to celebrate his longevity. If the two of you are planning to hike up the mountain, why not postpone it until tomorrow? It would be a shame to miss the birthday banquet. After they arrived at the borders of Hunan, Shen Xiao brought Yu and Song to an inn. The innkeeper noticed that the two were not locals and thus offered an introduction. Old Master Huang? Naturally, Shen Xiao wasn't able to ascertain the person's identity from the name alone. Ah, yes, yes. Old Master Huang's true name is Si Dao. He is famous in this city. It is said that whether it is within the intellectual or academic circles within the Jianghu, he is quite well known. This young one does not claim to know much, but Old Master Huang's reputation and fame is like thunder striking in one's ears. This elder is extremely hospitable, even without a prior invitation. Everyone is free to stop by his place for a drink. I heard a famous Yurqin player, Master Du, will be offering celebratory music at tonight's banquet. After hearing of this, many people plan to attend. Even if they are unable to enter his residence, they can still enjoy the music from afar. The innkeeper continued chattering endlessly. Shen Xiao recalled hearing Yan Wushi previously mention the name Huang Xi. The person was said to have descended from a noble family in Runan. He was proficient in music and equally accomplished in martial arts. Due to his family's background, he was never fully considered a person of the Jianghu. Yan Wushi did not generally take note of people whose martial arts skills were even slightly inferior. However, this man could imbue his music with a cold and murderous energy, yet also play harmonies that could cause 100 birds to pause and listen. He shared some similarities with the Fa Jingzong leader, Guanglingsan. While Huang Xidao's martial arts skills were below that of Guanglingsan, his mastery of music surpassed that of Guanglingsan's. For this reason, Yan Wushi had mentioned Huang Xidao's name in passing while speaking of Guanglingsan. Yu Wensong's eyes sparkled as he tugged on the corner of Shen Xiao's sleeve. When Shen Xiao bent down, Yu Wensong whispered, "The famous Yurqin master that he speaks of? I've seen him before. His name is Du Yun. He had performed in the palace once. And indeed, the beautiful sound of his music lingers and reverberates along the beams of the building for a long time." Shen Xiao asked, "Would you like to listen to him play?" Yuan Song's face wore an expression of longing. "Can we?" Shen Xiao gave a faint smile. "Of course we can. Since Old Master Huang is well disposed towards his guest, I expect that he would not be particular about having two uninvited guests around." The inn they were staying in was not far from the Huang residence. When they arrived, a man dressed in a steward's uniform was standing at the entrance, personally welcoming the guests. When the other party saw Shen Xiao coming with Yu and Song, he dutifully asked for the man's name. In order to avoid trouble, Shen Qiao decided to use an alias. This one is Shan Qiaozi, a wandering Taoist priest. I have heard of old Master Huang's birthday, so I came to express my congratulations. Arriving empty-handed would be too rude. Therefore, Shen Qiao had purchased a small gift en route, which Yu Wensong now presented with both hands. This sort of small gift meant little to the steward. In fact, many of the attendees at the Huang residence today were just there to freeload off the complimentary food and drinks. The Huang residence was prosperous enough not to be bothered by this sort of behavior. However, they did group all the attendees according to their status. The people of the Jianghu had their own assigned area, and distinguished scholars also had their own seats. The Huang residence steward had come across many people from all walks of life and had a well-trained, discerning eye. When he saw the long cloth bag slung over Shen Qiao's back, shaped like that of a concealed weapon, he became extra cautious. "May I ask if this Taoist is a person of the Jianghu?" Shen Qiao shook his head. "I only know some rudimentary martial arts skills. I cannot be considered a person of the Jianghu." The steward took note of Shen Qiao's outstanding demeanor and did not dare classify him as an ordinary person. The same applied for Yu Wensong, who looked young, yet similarly calm and handsome. The steward immediately had someone bring them to the area where the scholars were seated. Shen Qiao was not acquainted with the others present at the banquet. However, due to Shen Qiao's gentle temperament and amicable manner, when the others saw how he was dressed as a Taoist priest, they couldn't resist asking him questions about illusions in Taoism. After one or two such encounters, Shen Qiao gradually became acclimated with those around him. He also found out that they were prestigious scholars in the city, some even holding fame amongst the literary community. And they had attended this party for Du Yun's musical performance, which they held in great esteem. Not all the guests had arrived yet, and the host was elsewhere, greeting their guests. The crowd quietly chatted among themselves, making friendly connections with one another. The atmosphere was spirited and somewhat noisy. Yu Wensong listened attentively to the discussions on the art of music occurring around him. Shen Qiao involuntarily raised his head, and out of the corner of his eye, he caught sight of a familiar figure. It was so familiar, he couldn't help but let out a sound of surprise.